Life is a Story, What's Your Journey? With us today is a St. Petersburg notable, Dr. Byron Green Kalish. He is making such a difference in this community with his Justice Over Everything, a social justice center. And tell us a lot about what you're doing and your role in the city in LGBTQ+ and making a difference in the issues surrounding discrimination and supporting diversity.
Absolutely. So myself and Representative Michelle Rayner got together and realized that we were the aunties and uncles at the cookout at this point, right? Like, there's a moment where you go from being kids and you're like, oh, all the adults will take care of things, and realize, oh wait, that's us now. So Michelle had civil liberty law, which is her law practice, and I had a booming consultancy with Green Phoenix Solutions. I'd done and continue to do equity work with PRX, and we said we really need to come together to really lift up our community and be and stand in the gap. We founded Justice Over Everything, which was a dream that both of us had, kind of irrespective of each other, so that universal timing, Jesus coming together and to say, like, let's really, like, get some work done, that we both have a strong desire to advocate for intersectionality in our community. So what does that look like for us, and being able to offer litigation services at a free or reduced rate for people that can't engage in the or don't have the ability to pay for legal services when they enter the justice system, to provide resources to our nonprofit executive directors and workers that are really out there doing the work, and what would it mean for us to be able to offer things like executive coaching to those people to make sure that their cup continues to be filled, and to do the real work of helping people to understand what is actually happening in the legislature and what does it mean to your everyday life. I took a good deal of my master's degree was in extension education, and being able to take things from an institution and make sure that it is delivered to the people that it has the highest impact on. With the legislative system here in the state of Florida, a lot of things you get sound bites from, but you don't really understand the full depth and breadth of the pieces of legislation that are signed. They're pages on pages on pages on pages of information, and being able to have someone that you trust to be able to distill that information down to you that's not on the soundbite of insert news organization where they want you to hear only one part of it, but to understand the real implications of that legislation.
And, you know, for those of you who don't know his enormous contributions to this community, he has been president of the board of directors for St. Pete Pride, vice president of the Council of Neighborhood Associations, CONA. He leverages a robust foundation of research and coaching. But, you know, this social justice is the word of the day. We can no longer wait for the saviors, you say, in your mission. Mm-hmm. We've been waiting a long time, and we need to take care of each other. And it's three pillars that you work in: litigation, legislation, mm-hmm. and education. Tell us about the specific things in Tampa Bay that most concern you in these areas today.
I say from the legislation piece that the number of people that are engaging in the justice system without representation is incredibly astonishing. Looking at specifically the number of black and brown families that are separated going into the foster care system comparatively to white families. I recognize this from my own experience. My husband and I just adopted a child from the foster care system, and we were incredibly grateful for that. But watching the kids engage and families engage in the foster care system really illuminates an issue that we saw across the board. The education piece, I talked to tons and tons of people about what does legislation actually mean. That what does it mean when we have, for instance, a flag ban, for lack of a better term and a better example. What else is involved in this flag ban? What does it mean when we say we want to ban flags? Or what does it mean when it says we want to define what womanhood looks like? And how does that disproportionately impact certain groups of people that may not fit that very thin definition of what womanhood looks like? I tell people often that the most impacted people when womanhood is defined is actually Black women, because Black women don't fit the narrative of what we build womanhood off of in this country, which is often white women. So looking at a Serena Williams, who is an incredibly, incredibly athletically built woman, that when we look at the definition of womanhood, as it is defined in some of these pieces of legislation, may not fit that. Or most recently, what was it, about 6 months ago, there was a Black woman that was killed inside of her home because her neighbor was convinced that she was a trans woman. And this was a cisgender woman who lived her entire life as a woman, identified as a woman, but the man thought that she was a trans woman and killed her in her own home.
It's amazing. The news every day speaks to your mission. I think one of the things that I really like and that I heard is that it starts very easily. The parking tickets, the potential domestic violence. It's not really the name calling, the hate. This escalates very, very quickly, and you step in before it escalates.
Absolutely. That is our hope, that we can jump in before we get to that moment, that one parking ticket, two parking tickets, an argument with your roommate that's now qualified as a domestic violence incident, now you're looking at compiled incidents and what is an arrest warrant issued for multiple parking tickets and now a domestic violence situation. How are we able to come in on the first parking ticket to make sure that we can mitigate that we don't get to this next thing? Or how do we educate you around this entire system of justice that you know when you walk in, like, do you have the representation that you need? Do you understand what things are available to you, what advocates and resources there might be, even if they're not, you are not reminded of those things when you are taken into custody?
How does St. Pete rate in the diversity, equity, and inclusion? How do we rate as a city that is making a difference and doing our best? What can we do better?
St. Pete as a city has done some really amazing things over the last few years, from our mayor, Rick Kreisman, to our mayor now, Kenneth Welch. They have both really fought hard for a lot of different aspects of equity and inclusion across the spectrum. Mayor Kreisman really kicking things off for the queer community and making sure that St. Pete Pride as an organization really had a foothold to continue to grow and be a beacon for inclusion for the entire Southeast. So now St. Pete Pride is the largest cultural celebration in the state of Florida and the largest Pride organization in the Southeast. That is incredibly important, and we could not do that without the city's help. Mayor Welch has continued in that tradition and continued to make sure that the queer community can see itself in representation across the administration, as well as people of color, and making sure Mayor Welch has really stepped up in appointing people of color in his administration and in places of power across the city. So I would say that St. Pete is well on its way to continuing to advance equity, even more so with the equity study that we did as a city in illuminating the really horrible history that we have as a city and acknowledging those moments and what can we do better as we move forward. I know having Carl Lavender in the seat of the chief equity officer for the city right now is really an amazing feat in a state where we are, DEI is the dirty word that we don't say, having someone a part of Mayor Welch's cabinet completely dedicated to that fact is important for us to do, but it is the steps. We need to continue to move things forward. Just last week, we had someone completely vandalize the Pride mural on Central Avenue. And I had this conversation that, like, oh, St. Pete is such a welcome and inclusive place for queer people. But we can't rest on our laurels in that way. We have to continue to fight because of these things. We know that vandalism continues to happen. The state of Florida ranks in the top three of murdered trans people. I think we're pretty high in that top three. But it is incredulous for us to be able to hold on to this fact that we are so progressive, but our trans brothers and sisters are dying at an alarming rate.
you know, we could talk for hours about this, and I'm just going to tell you that Dr. Byron Green Kalish is going to be back on with us. We're going to have a monthly podcast where we are supporting everything. I want to tell you that you need to go to justiceovereverything.com. Mm-hmm. It's a terrific website with a lot of resources. Dr. Green Kalish, tell us anything else you want us to know before we leave you for today.
Absolutely. If you have questions, you have thoughts, you have concerns, you want representation, please reach out to us. That has not only a phone number that comes directly to my cell phone, so we are on all the time, but myself and Representative Rayner continue to be staunch advocates for equity and inclusion in this space, and we want to make sure that St. Pete continues the vein of equity.
Show love, show respect, and we'll be back with you again. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.